Romans chapter 13. So Paul has left off the sort of large subject of faith and works and the gospel to now in chapter 12 he had begun to talk about the body of Christ and how we ought to interact one with another and the more practical subjects, quote unquote practical. I put as a quote unquote meaning more mundane, let's say, then they're not as high, not in the bad sense of high things, but they are not high on the order of importance as far as immediate understanding of what, how one obtains salvation. But these things are as much a part of salvation, really, as the rest, because faith, which we had laid the groundwork in the first 11 chapters, needs to be present throughout all of this. This is all done by faith. To attempt to make a grocery list out of these things, and to try to follow them, as it were, by a law, gotta be this way, gotta be that way, will result in failure. But to seek God, it talks about there's this simple, sincere truth in Christ. And it is very simple. One does not have to be a scholar in all these things in order to fulfill them. Because the Holy Spirit, the intention is that it would teach us all things that we really need to know. Because, I tell you what, there are a lot of Bible teachers out there peddling all kinds of products. A lot of knowledge you don't need. But the most important and simple knowledge that you do need, they don't give you. Because they don't possess it. So, I guess with that in mind, we'll continue in this section of scripture here. Where Paul is now kind of turning away from the big issues of faith to the smaller issues of faith. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Hold right there. This subject, if you look back in history, has been somewhat abused. And I say that because this is where a lot of the ancient thought, well, not the medieval philosophy of the divine right of kings somewhat was taken from this. And just like anything, I think it is very difficult for one to be a Christian and a temporal ruler at the same time. Okay. For one. For two. Paul was not living in such a time. For three. Look at the issue of when, like, let's say, the nobles in Britain forced John to sign the Magna Carta, which limited the power of the king and said the king was subject to the same laws that the rest of the people were, or at least the rest of the nobles were. Now, are they resisting the power? Or are they the power? See, that's the thing. when God causes one people to rise up against another, like in revolution or so on and so forth, the power is really in the victorious side. Like, let's look at the American Revolution. We have Britain, you know, and the king levying these sort of unjust taxes, though, I mean, compared to what we have today, and they would be astonished, I suppose, at what we put up with. But, but the power really was in the hands of the governors and of the legislatures of the several states. Now, they did have a king over them, and there was war. I mean, you know, and ultimately, right? And I'm not trying to justify really any of that. I'm not, because human affairs, the wars of men, those are not Christian endeavors. There is no such thing as a Christian war in a temporal sense. There is holy war, but it's not war with bullets and swords and tanks and all that. You know, a holy war is a war of the Spirit, a war to create true holiness in the believer. At least that's the way I would look at it. I mean, obviously there have been literal holy wars and Christians have marched off to battle, but this is contrary to sound doctrine. It's contrary to sound doctrine. I think it's a very sensitive issue. I don't, I think it is right to save life and not take it. You know, sometimes people are pressed into service. And, what I wouldn't do in defense of myself, I might do in the defense of other people. And sometimes the sword, you know, when things are put into people's hands, but ultimately, my desire is to stay out of that stuff, to stay out of, don't entangle yourself in earthly affairs to such a degree that you're put in the position where you're making these decisions. And because the rulers end up doing things that are contrary to being a Christian. You know why? And this is why, you know why I think it's impossible to be, really, I mean, it is impossible to be a temporal leader or a temporal king or someone in a position of power in a temporal sense beyond maybe, you know, small local administrators and so on and so forth. But I mean, you know, like presidents,